Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right. Hello, Charlottesville. This is Daniel Rothamel. Andy will be here. Oh, wait a second.
On 94.7 WPVC. Reach us at 284-9470 and at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Back after this timeout. You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next.
Oh, there we go. All right. Hello, Charlottesville. This is Daniel Rothamel, one of your blokes. Andy will be here in a little bit.
Momentarily.
Yeah, he'll be here momentarily. So we're holding down the fort until Andy gets here. Sorry about the little technical difficulties there. We're not as match fit as Andy is.
As tech savvy.
Yeah, exactly, when it comes to running the show. But he'll be here in a little bit. So today, first in the first segment here, we're going to talk a little bit of local soccer. We have with us the two of the three principals of Seville FC, the new UPSL club here in Charlottesville. In the past, we've spoken with the guys at Charlottesville Alliance, formerly Aromas FC, Aromas Cafe. And so now we have another new club here in Charlottesville. So we're going to talk with them a little bit about the club and then also a really big partnership that they are launching in the next week here with a club in Portugal, of all places. So, gentlemen, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
What's up, Charlottesville? This is Johnny. I'm the Director of Operations for Seville FC.
My name is Bayram Sadikolu. I'm the head coach for the Seville FC.
Nice. Now, describe a little bit for the people out there how the club came about. You guys are obviously brand new, but how did this all get started?
So it started with Elimelech de los Santos, the gentleman in Dominican Republic, lives now in Charlottesville and married with four kids. He had a passion to start a team. And he said, what the heck, let's go for it. And started the team and started bringing some people on board, some key people, I guess, on board to help him out with getting the soccer going here in Charlottesville.
Nice. And so being in the UPSL, you guys are kind of down to that fourth tier of American soccer in that semi-pro tier of the somewhat of a pyramid that we have here in the United States. So describe a little bit about how the players on the team, who the team is made up of.
Well, right now, about 80% of the players are from the Charlottesville area. We got a few guys from Lynchburg, some from Richmond. And actually, we're about to sign a player from Brazil and possibly Mexico.
Ah, very cool.
So when you say sign, does that mean you're paying another club for him, kind of like what you see in the pros? Or what exactly does that mean?
Well, not quite yet. But if they sign now with us and anybody wants to pick him up, they will have to pay us to go ahead and release him.
Nice. And so how did you find these individuals?
You know, timing is everything, man. This kid that we have from Brazil, mm-hmm, was playing lastly in Thailand professionally there. And he's actually married to an American girl, happens to be from Charlottesville. So he finished his contract there in Thailand, ended up in Charlottesville, and here we go. Where he's like, come play with us.
Excellent. That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. Bayram, describe. So you've got these players from all over. You've just put this team together. I know you guys have had a couple friendly scrimmages. Describe sort of the philosophy, the playing style of the team. What should people expect if they go to see a Seville FC match this season?
Well, we got a lot of different background, a lot of international players. And, you know, we're trying to get those guys to play the style that we want to play, you know. You could sometimes go play 4-4-2. You can play 4-2-3-1 and different style. And what I saw the last couple of scrimmages, the guys are the system that we want to play, and we find the right people, the right place. And I'm very excited, and Tim looking good, and I'm really looking forward to the first game of the season.
Very cool. Now, the first game is March 10th, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and y'all are playing at Charlottesville High School.
Charlottesville High School, which is I coached there over 10 years.
Ah, nice.
You coached CHS.
I coached CHS 10 years, and I left actually last year before Thanksgiving. I try and take a year off, you know, relax. And then I got the call, and I'm back into working on the different level.
So who's the first game against?
It's going to be Savannah Glovers.
Yeah, the Savannah Clovers,
Georgia.
Yeah.
And our second game is going to be on the road, Atlanta. So we play Atlanta United.
So you play mostly on the East Coast, it seems. What's the division? Or
You're in the UPSL. What do they call it? The Southeast or something?
Southeast Conference.
So it's Charlottesville, Savannah, the Georgia Revolution.
No, we are the Savannah, Georgia, Atlanta. We got two teams from South Carolina.
Right.
We have two teams from North Carolina.
Yep.
With us makes it seven. So we'll have a seven home game, seven away.
So you guys will be doing a decent amount of traveling, it seems, for each one of these games, huh?
Yeah, it's be every one of them. It looked like 8-9 hours, except North Carolina.
And initially,
yeah, and then do you have a bus or something? Like, what's the transit? Is it like people just kind of roll in their own cars? How is it?
No, we're looking into the transportation. It'll probably be a bus or a passenger van, but it's temporary because the other teams have just developed also in the area. But they are going to be forming a Mid-Atlantic division.
Oh, so it'll make traveling less of an issue.
Yeah, a couple teams already joined in Northern Virginia, Virginia Beach, Maryland.
Yeah,
so
very
it's going
cool.
to keep things within 3 hours of us. A lot closer, man.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that's for next year, maybe the fall.
All right, so let's talk about this recently announced partnership with Boa Vista FC from the Portuguese Premier Division. I mean, this is obviously something rather unique in American soccer for especially a fourth division American small upstart American club in a place like Charlottesville to have a partnership with a club in the Premier Division of Portuguese football. So how did that come about, first of all, and then describe for people what that partnership is going to look like?
Well, it's an affiliation that we were fortunate enough to be able to establish, and we have to give the credit actually to Elimelech. Elimelech is on the scouting for the national team of the Dominican Republic, so his contacts are
fantastic.
You know, our top presidents and whatnot of different organizations worldwide. Because he goes and scouts for the Dominican players that are playing worldwide and tries to bring them back. Pretty much what the United States does, right?
Right.
They go internationally and they find them, you know, these kids that are brought up at military bases and play in the European, South American, Central American countries.
So what exactly does the partnership mean? Does that mean there's going to be a swap of players or, like, what entails this?
Yep, so what it's going to open up is the line to be able to swap players around. We're going to follow also the European methodology here. So our kids are going to be brought up through the academy with the European methodology. And it's also going to be able for them to bring scouts to the United States from the Boa Vista to ultimately join their team. Because they're in the market also for American players. They're that our game is developing quite a bit, and we're, you know, strong individuals. They want to see him in Europe a lot more. So this will open up the door for the kids, and not only that, but also part of the agreement is we're going to have FIFA scouts also visiting Charlottesville, the academy and stuff. So
that's amazing. And so you say the academy, and you're going to be teaching it with the European philosophy.
Yes.
Are there going to be an exchange of coaches as well, potentially, or anything like that in terms of for the training methodology?
Yep. Actually, our coaches are going to be going to Portugal for 6 weeks of training. And they'll also bring a coach here to start it out with. But yeah, everybody will be trained in Portugal for,
that's
for
amazing.
The coaching of the academy.
That should be such a leg up for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, completely.
Yeah, so, okay, so if you're going to, you know, share academy resources, how are you guys going to start? Because obviously, you know, being a new club, it's not like you have some sort of established academy already. How do you plan on starting here and stateside?
Well, we have to start small. So they're going to be coming here, actually on Friday. We have the international rep for the Boa Vista coming here to do some more conversation about that. We can't start from 6 years old right off the bat up until 18. So
right, obviously.
We need to find out for them what's the best group of kids. I'm guessing 12 to 18, maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 12 to 18.
You don't want to go very low to the numbers, you know, go down to 6 to maybe 14, but it'll be good for them really finding talent. They will be between age of 10 through 18, and we can divide them, you know, maybe 10 to 14 and working with these guys. Bring him in, you know, maybe 15 or 20 at a time. Pick maybe 5, 6, maybe 8 out of them being qualified, take him back to the Europe, and Portuguese train him that age. That's a great way to do it.
In Europe, the clubs, a lot of them, the kids don't actually go to school. Maybe they're like homeschooled or something the equivalent. Is that going to be a boundary for you guys here, dealing with kids of, you know, under 18?
Well, we're also in the process of talking about it because education obviously is huge. And part of their academy is the education. So we'll have a couple of options. Right now, the option is for 16-year-olds, 16 to 18-year-olds that they see with the potential to take them. They have the option of completing their education the last 2 years in Portugal with them at the academy.
And getting the equivalent of a high school degree.
That's correct.
Okay, wonderful.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, nice. So what do you see as sort of short-term, near-term goals for the club and for obviously this type of partnership? What do you guys want to accomplish, you know, this year in this first season?
Well, the main goal for us is to help the underserved youth of Charlottesville. I think we're right now just bringing affordable entertainment. You know, we're going to charge only $8 for the adults, $5 for military and the youth, you know, students, and it's going to be free for the kids 12 and under.
Nice.
So
I've got two of those,
yeah.
So that's good.
Affordable entertainment, get some fans riled up and get the football really going here in Charlottesville. But the main thing is going to be help and get those underserved youth the opportunity to join an academy that can't afford to pay some of those high rates.
And then, so the Charlottesville High School is a turf pitch.
Yes.
I know that they're, like, isn't Soka building some new ones out near...
In Waynesboro.
In Waynesboro. I thought there was one closer in...
Polo Grounds.
Yeah, there's Polo Grounds, and then there's also a new facility that they're building...
Belvedere.
So is the plan to stay on at CHS long term? Like, how long is that agreement? Are you guys trying to move to grass?
Yeah, CHS really is for the entertainment. It's for Seville FC. The academy, we're still talking with other groups and see if we can do some form of partnering.
Yeah, because Polo Grounds is probably the best.
Possibly.
Fields in,
possibly,
in the area,
possibly.
At least where there's multiple.
Correct.
Darden Towers, but
yeah.
I played on all of those, trust me.
Yeah, Alex has been around the Charlottesville soccer scene.
Well, yeah.
You also have another club, you know, Manchester United, Monticello United. Monticello United, they got nice fields up in the Polo Ground, too. I coached with this club about a couple of years, so... Let's see if we can talk, and let's see if we can get something going for the young kid. Just going over to do some academy work.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, very cool. Now, your games are going to be 2 o'clock, right? All your games are Saturdays at 2, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what should people expect when they go to a Seville FC match? What should people expect, you know, entertainment-wise? You know, what can we – atmosphere-wise –
Well, we're trying to have at least a couple of food trucks in there. We're going to be doing the, what do you call it in English, where you have the kids that come out with the players.
Oh, yeah, the walkout when they have the walkout with the kids, yeah.
I mean, the typical national anthem, some music. We'll be broadcasting it on streaming the game also, which is actually a requirement by UPSL.
Right, yeah, they use the MyCujo app.
Correct.
Right, yeah.
Correct.
So, yeah, all those UPSL games are streaming. Actually, people should check that out because there's like, they got futsal from around the world on there.
Yeah.
They got all kinds of stuff. It's pretty amazing, all the free soccer content that's out there on that app.
Trying to get some inflatable stuff and some,
nice.
Some painting, see if the kids want to get their face painted with the red and black.
Yeah, very cool.
So we're just starting.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see how supporter culture kind of develops here in Charlottesville. I think I was joking with you earlier. I think it'd be cool to test the limits of the pyro rules at Charlottesville High School. Like, the more smoke and flares, the better. I think no pyro, no party, I think is.
Get the drums going. Yeah.
Yeah, the drums. Get the drums going. Yeah, man.
Listen, I think that they have to be sit down with either the high school and because since the city complex and we might have to pick it up with those guys and think about cleared. So, but so far we are happy to have the field as our home field, and we're going to go up there and join the time as a team and just entertain the Charlottesville.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, and so we've spoken to the Charlottesville Alliance guys a few times. You think you guys will play anytime soon? Wouldn't that be kind of cool to see?
Well, I don't know. Their season starts, I think, May 5th, and we'll be still the middle of the season, and our season March 10th to June 30th. And then we have a playoff starts, and then we have a U.S. Open Cup, then we play Admiral Cup. So I don't know when we're going to find the time to play. But if that opportunity happens, why not?
We've been actually talking, mentioning to them also, we're going to start a Monticello Cup, which will include, you know, some of the local teams like the Alliance and us, and maybe invite the Richmond Kickers and some other professional team and do like a weekend tournament.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Type of game, yeah. And what's nice about that is I'm trying to get conversations going also, probably hold the game like at a winery, like maybe a King's Vineyard.
So oh, yeah, yeah.
We
do the polo
you
thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, have some, you know, some adult drinks available.
All right. Very cool. Well, Johnny Byram, thanks for stopping by, fellas. This was good. We'll have to have you back for sure.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity, man.
Well, thanks for having us, and I hope to see Charlottesville the first day, the first game, home game, the Charlottesville High School.
We sit
almost 5,000 people, and I expect people in Charlottesville, that they love the game, so I expect at least a lot more than.
You heard the man. March 10th. 2:00, Charlottesville High School. Be there, Charlottesville. If you want to see soccer, be there. All right, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Blokes on the Bench 94.7.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Thank you very much by the way, Daniel, for doing that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was, Alex and I conspired to kind of make that happen.
Just let everyone know that.
I will say this. I like being in my seat down here at this end of the table.
Right,
now.
Right.
A little less stress.
Kind of threw them all on the hot seat there.
Yeah, that's all right.
Not intentionally. So, should we talk about Premier League then? Do you want to talk about the FA? Not the FA Cup. The
Carabao Cup final.
Mark, why don't you take it away?
No, I'm not going to do that. There's not much to say.
Well, so will the victorious. So do I get to go first as victor?
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. So I mean, City. I think that Kevin De Bruyne has summed it up pretty well at the end. It was great to get a win because obviously winning in championship games like that matters because winning finals always matters. It wasn't City's best performance, but they got the win. They did what they needed to do in order to get the win. And, you know, it was one of those things where we saw, I think having Gabriel Jesus back is tremendous. Maybe he'll play with Aguero in upcoming matches in the Champions League. Who knows? But to have him back and potentially give Aguero a rest from time to time, because Aguero's been the lone striker now since Jesus went out, I think is going to be big going forward. It was really cool for me as a City supporter to see Vincent Kompany get to lift another cup.
And get a goal.
Yes, and get a goal. And, you know, because, you know, the guy, he's just such a great ambassador for the game in general. And, you know, he's had all these injury struggles and stuff. So to see him do well in this match was, you know, very rewarding as a supporter for sure.
you guys can still win a treble of sorts.
Yeah, now that they lost in the FA Cup, yeah, this treble is still on the table.
The quadruple is off.
Yes, the quadruple is off the table, yeah.
I wasn't going to laugh at that because that's not out of the realm of possibility. Well, it wasn't.
Right, it wasn't, all, yeah, right, before.
Yeah, yeah. It was possible with City this year, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, so, you know, the treble is still on the table. And that, to me, that's why winning this, you know, people down the Carabao Cup, whatever, I get it. But it's important to show that you have the mental fortitude to show up in championship games like this to me. Because to me, this is kind of a dress rehearsal for something like the Champions League final.
Or the FA Cup final. Oh, wait.
Sorry. Yeah, but they're not playing in that one. So they already stubbed their toe there.
It was a very interesting game. I didn't get to see all of it, but I saw the first goal. And up to then, I thought Arsenal were the better squad.
We were.
Let's talk. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, let's put it this way: the game was wide open up until that first goal, and the defending on that goal was atrocious.
Yeah, Mustafi, that was just. And he tried to say there was a foul.
Nah, man, I still maintain he had no clue where Aguero was until he backed into him.
I completely agree.
Yeah, and then he wanted the foul, and I was like, nah, fam, you're not getting that one. And then Aguero with the nice finish just, you know, chipped it over Ospina. And then after that, they were off.
The assist to Bravo.
Yes, Claudio Bravo with the assist, the much maligned Claudio Bravo, who, you know, I think it's fitting that he gets an assist in the championship game because he really saved City's behinds in multiple times in coming up into the, you know, the previous games. You know, stopped PKs against Hull and Leicester City, you know, in the previous rounds. So, you know, kudos to him for performing in the game. I will say Arsenal didn't give him a whole lot to do. So that helps.
The first 20 minutes.
Yeah, right, not after that first 20.
So where does Arsenal go from here, guys?
We got to win the Europa League.
Do you think you will?
We got a tough draw next round, AC Milan.
Now, hold on. Now, Byram, for those of you, because you can't see us, Byram stayed in the studio because he's an Arsenal supporter. And obviously, being a manager, he has perspective. We don't. So, yeah, let's see what Byram says.
I don't think Arsenal are going to do anything this year, basically. I don't know, man. They don't have a player to really carry him.
Well, they did, but they sold him.
Well, you're going to make money somewhere.
He got subbed. And he got subbed today. Yeah. He got sacrificed.
What do you think of Wenger, by the way?
Sanchez, yeah.
Hmm? Do you think Wenger is the right guy for the job still? Or I mean,
well,
are you?
I don't know. Who you going to bring to carry the team? Right. I mean, yeah, you get a Pep Guardiola. I mean, he's on the Man City.
He's not going there. It doesn't make sense, right?
No, I mean, why do you want to go? Yeah.
I mean, people talk about Simeone. I don't know if the fans would like his style because he's too defensive.
No, I think he won't succeed in the English Premier League. I think he'll do fine in the La Liga.
Like, but his philosophy is kind of like a Mourinho, where it's defensive.
For him to find a player that fit his style, he has to get rid of half of the team, which is he can't afford it. What he's going
to
bring? Bring?
I'd
the,
like to see Kepa come to Arsenal.
Well, he's going to bring the half of the Atletico Madrid in.
No, I think you're right. Like, I don't think Simeone is the right move. I've actually said this for a while. I wouldn't mind seeing Henri or Bergkamp or somebody just take over. I think we're at a point where we can't find a replacement unless something opens up. And at this point, I think we need to look at a Patrick Vieira or a Terry Henry.
That's what I was just going to say. As an NYCFC supporter, I was just going to mention that. I wonder what the odds are that Vieira would go back.
I don't think Vieira, because I think Vieira, I wouldn't say he left the club under bad terms, but they weren't ideal.
But I don't think he can succeed in Arsenal anyway, because if they have maybe have a 4 or 5 bad game, I'll be chasing him out of there. So this point, only guy is the really fit for the job is Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, right.
He has to put the team together.
And that's why when people ask me if I'm Wenger in, Wenger out, I'm just like, who are you bringing to the table? Like,
right.
I'm Wenger whatever.
Yeah, no, it's not like
Wenger,
that.
Wenger.
But, I mean, there's got to be another coach out there that's young. I mean, Spurs did a great job with Pochettino, you know, who was at Southampton before. is there anyone that you see that's down maybe at a lesser, not lesser club, but, not a top-tier club that has maybe that chance to, maybe not even for Arsenal, but just to break out perhaps in the next couple of years?
But look at what happened to Tottenham, right? They almost rebuilt the club.
Yeah, I mean, the squad is completely different than
exactly.
It was before Pooch got
so
there.
Are you going to have a patience enough to build the Arsenal from the foundation?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arsenal's got a much better foundation than Spurs did when back then. Yeah.
Well, what's
you just bought like Aubameyang, and you have a bunch of other, in theory, quality players.
In theory.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to take a few years for the new coach to come in and develop his squad.
Yeah. And then you lose a lot of fans during that process, and then the guys are up in the office, they get impatient. Things are started changing, rapidly, and then team never was set up.
Well, I've said this for years about Arsenal, is that they're...
I wasn't never heard of what you say.
That's what I'm going to say it again, is that they are run for profit. They're not run... An American owns them, and they're not run to win things. They're run to make profit, and everyone can go home to the bank and be happy that way.
That's funny, because I was talking earlier with Johnny. The problem is that when American businessmen, when they make $10, they put the $7 in a pocket, spend it $3. So there is no way in the world you can be in a club.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the revenue that Arsenal brings
Look at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool the same way, owned by Gillette.
Although Liverpool did reinvest part of those funds from Coutinho to Virgil van Dijk, one of the most expensive defenders in history, if not the most expensive. But yeah, I mean, right now they're net gain, and the Boston Fenway Group or whatever they're called, we'll see what they do with that extra funds in the summer.
I think the thing that I would be concerned with, and Byron brings this up, if you bring in someone else, you've got to rebuild that club. Like watching them play today, I mean, that team, like they've got talent. It almost looked like nobody cared. I mean, they just it got bad after that goal, and then even in the beginning, I thought they were going to come out in the second half with something. I thought it was going to be back on in the second half, and in the second half, it just wasn't.
They just don't have a captain. That's their problem. Arsenal has no backbone. They have no captain. They need someone to lead.
Jackie boy.
Yeah, but I mean, he may be on loan next year. I mean,
can lead from the bench.
He was fired up.
I didn't watch the game today because I was playing golf, so. Hey, it's a sport.
I do find it odd, though, that this cup final was held on... I mean, usually... I think last year as well, didn't they not have, no Premier League games? I mean, usually that's the way it works. And it's the EFL Cup, but...
I was trying to remember, yeah, because I thought when City won it 2 years ago against Liverpool, I thought it was the same thing. There were no other games on that day. Yeah, it was a little odd. The whole atmosphere was a little bit odd for some reason. I don't know what it was, but yeah, I agree with that. That's true.
Yeah, it didn't really necessarily seem like a cup final other than the awesome opera singer. I don't know if you saw
Oh, yeah,
that
did. God Save the Queen.
Oh, yeah. Was there any cheerleaders, Mark?
Yeah.
No, there were no cheerleaders, but the opera singer was pretty good looking.
She's pretty hot.
She's pretty hot, yeah.
All right.
So you got to be happy. Tottenham won today with Crystal Palace.
Mm. Yeah, that was a...
Man United beat Chelsea.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about Man U Chelsea, because Andy's fired up down there. Them. Yeah, let's talk about that, Andy.
Okay, so this is the frustrating thing about United right now. I don't know why we just didn't play them the way we played the second half and the first half.
Agreed.
Goal, Willian Mourinho, was all over us, like a rash. And that first goal, it's really odd. I'm so used to De Gea saving goals now that I was shouting and yelling? It didn't go in. And of course it did go in. Listen, he thought that the ball was going to go lower than what it actually was, like, Willian riffed it under the corner. You know what? When we got back in it again, when Lukaku scored, I was a little bit relieved, but I was let's not, because we sometimes do this where we'll score back and then we'll just sit back and park the bus. We do park the bus at times. But we went for it in the second half, and I'm so, yeah.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was when Jesse came on,
Messi Lingard.
When he came on, I knew he was going to score. There was just, I, and, and, I was like, yeah.
I just love how Jesse Lingard has won you over. Yeah. During the course of his time in United, you went from hater to,
I know,
that guy's coming on and he's going to score.
We got to buy him a jersey, right?
I know we've got to. I will say
Messi on it, not Lingard.
I look forward to his goof, his real goofy celebrations. Like, he's just like...
This is amazing.
Apparently,
I love
it. Quite the personal life.
Well, but what's interesting is I can understand what you're saying, Andy, because it was weird. In the first half, United gets dominated. And then in the second half...
It was like a flip reversal.
It was totally flipped. And people were banging on Conte for taking out Hazard as his first substitution. And Conte said after the match that he essentially took him out because he said he had run out his energy. And I do think it was weird because I was thinking...
In the 73rd minute.
Right. I was thinking to myself in the second half, what is Hazard doing? Like, he was walking around. Like, there was part of me that wondered what happened in the locker room at halftime, because those seemed like two different teams.
United scored 2 minutes later.
Right.
That's why everybody was banging on Conte.
But hey, you got to give credit to Lukaku here. Coming up against his old club, scoring the first goal, assisting the second goal.
True.
And the knock on
him. The knock on him has been he doesn't play in big games.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. He did just that. Maybe it's the first time in a while.
His first goal is pretty...
It was scruffy.
Yeah,
one dude had like maybe a head injury. Like, if you're the ref, like, do you blow the whistle? They didn't blow the whistle. Then he's out of position. Then he basically ghosts exactly where that guy should have been. Goal scored.
I'm just thinking though, if that second attempt that he had,
like Sanchez got sacrificed at the end of the game. For Bailly coming in.
I love it when Mark says anything about United. He's got that evil look. I'm stabbing you with my thoughts.
Now, I do want to talk about Sanchez. Like, I said this when he was signed, that I didn't think this was an automatic, this is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And
I agree with you.
Now, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. He's got the rest of the season. He'll be back next season, so maybe it changes. But he's done as close to nothing as you can possibly do so far for United.
If things keep going bad, he might try to get out of United in the summer. I mean...
No, that'd be crazy. Daniel, Daniel, go ahead. Tell, what were the stat that you said around on the text exchange about the goals that he scored in the number of games?
Yeah, he's only... In all of his appearances, he's only scored one goal. I think he has 8 appearances now. He scored one goal... And that was on a PK. Well, it was in the league.
I think it was all competitions. I think
right, all competitions. Correct. Yeah, all competitions. He scored one goal. That was on a PK. That was actually saved. That he put in the rebound. I mean, other than that, he'd have no production as in his time at United.
He had a few assists. FA Cup or
right,
whatever it
one
was.
Or two assists in FA Cup. Yeah. They gave him that super lame man of the match in his first appearance, where like he didn't do it. I think he had an assist and didn't really do anything, but he got man of the match.
But here's the important thing: forget Sanchez. All his talk right now is about Pogba. Like, is he leaving in the summer? What's going on with him between him and
Well, the problem is that Mourinho has been playing him in the wrong spot. He's been playing him.
You were talking about this
next to Matic. It's crazy. Like, Pogba should be playing in the hole behind the striker. He should be a creator in the attacking third. And Mourinho continues to play him next to Matic, which, now, granted, Mourinho counters that, saying that Pogba's favorite lineup is a 4-3-3, and his favorite place is a 6, which is the left side of the midfield of a 4-3-3. And that's where he's played. And so, but the thing is, he hasn't played well there. And so,
now I want to get Byram's perspective on this, on the tactic, because we keep saying this week in and week out that Pogba's in the wrong position. I agree with Alex. I think he is too. But I want to get Byram's take on this, because it's not often we have someone with significant tactical experience,
credentials, yeah.
Right? Exactly, in the studio with us. I mean, we're just guys on the radio.
Well, I think he's playing the wrong position too, but. You know, you're the coach. You can put the guy. When you spend $140 million, I don't know how much they spend this guy, you should be able to play any part of the field as a player.
But certain players are better in certain places than others, correct? So shouldn't you put a player where he's going to excel?
Listen, and then when you have a player like a Pogba, you got to have a lot of utility player around him that they can make you look good. He can help you out attacking, defensive, when you cut out a possession. But looking at Manchester United, they don't have those lot of utility players. They got signed all the big money players, so they just walk in their backyard. Hey, this is.
I mean, they have Matic, right? Okay. So that, but then after that, then it's under Herrera. Who's,
yeah. What happened to Zlatan?
Zlatan? Yeah, I mean, he's going to
Galaxy,
LA,
probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Coming to MLS. And
it seems that way. It's unclear what's going to happen to him.
So you go spending a bunch of money on those guys. You just play half a year in a year and then just get rid of him.
At least they got him for free transfer. But, yeah, they're paying him huge wages for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I think Alex Sanchez did a mistake just moving to Manchester United, leaving Arsenal anyway. Yeah,
I agree. That
he should have stayed at Arsenal. He'd have a better career over there because I think the Arsenal midfield is so much better than Manchester United. I think Alex Sanchez had a lot of problem with, I think, the player in the Arsenal. They just want to get the heck out of there, man. He just doesn't be part of it anymore.
Well, I don't think he liked losing. He seems to be like a sore loser.
Well, yeah, but look at him. I mean, when he doesn't play, when you play forward, he's scoring goal. When you don't score, you miss more than you should. How many goals he missed?
20.
Yeah. All right, guys, the time is 7:20. We'll be right back.
Yeah, welcome back. Let's just do a quick little run through of all the Premier League games. I think this is the longest we've ever gone, not really.
Without talking about it.
Well, I mean, like, we talked a little bit about the Chelsea game, but yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good. Yeah, so hey, first game on Saturday, Stoke Leicester 1-1. Not necessarily the greatest of games.
No, Stoke gets their point.
Yeah, exactly. Stoke needed the point. Leicester, it was at Leicester. Leicester probably wanted the win. I mean, let's be honest. But, really this game, there was a couple nice plays. Shaqiri with a really nice goal with some hard-fought midfield play by Joe Allen to get it in.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, every time, right?
Every time.
Yeah. And Butland just gave up a goal. That's a howler.
Oh, man.
All howlers is a simple
cross. English goalkeeping is in a sad state of affairs right now.
Please, no more. I think the question that comes out of this game that's beyond the Premier League is Butland still the number one for England?
I guess.
I guess is kind of...
Jordan Pickford is their other option, right?
Pickford, I mean, obviously Joe Hart.
Joe Hart's not an option.
I like Tom Heaton. He's old, but you know what? He's legit.
Goalkeepers can do that, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think you should bring back Green.
Rob Green?
They're not playing the United States again this year.
It's true. So.
If he doesn't have as much butterfingers anymore.
That was you remember
howler,
him. Yeah. He let that all in.
Yes. The World Cup. Yes, that was a true howler.
Clint Dempsey's best ever goal.
Right. There
you go. All right, next up we had Newcastle at Bournemouth 2-2 in this one.
Oh, Newcastle gave that one away.
Yeah, Newcastle
needed those 3 points.
Goals in the first half. And then, Bournemouth clawed it back at home. I mean, that was an impressive display. Adam Smith with the first one. And Dan Gosling, I think, is one of the defenders, had the second one as well. But Newcastle, you got to feel like you dropped 2 points there.
Definitely. Yeah, they needed those.
We were talking about coaches earlier. I think Eddie Howe is probably the next great manager in England.
Still?
You think?
Because I think he's lost a little bit of his luster these days.
People have been saying
he's
for the last three seasons.
You know,
right?
Like, I think you put Eddie Howe at a big club. I'm not saying necessarily Arsenal. But, Greggy always spoke highly of him.
Greggy.
Oh,
congratulations to Greggy, by the way. Yeah. He's just going to be a big boy.
Oh, yay, babies.
Connor.
Babies are the best.
He's going to be a UFC superstar. Yes. Kicking people's butts all the down.
Yeah, you're saying about Eddie Howe.
Yeah, I mean, it just, there's been speculation about him and...
Yeah, but Bournemouth are 11th right now. They're in the bottom half of the table.
They're Bournemouth, and they're 11th. Like, come on,
just
man.
Leave them alone, okay?
Yeah.
They have 8 wins on the season.
They're above West Ham, Newcastle, Southampton.
I think you could make a legit argument, though, that the fact that he's kept Bournemouth up since they... this will be 3 years, right? This will be their third year, I think. if I remember correctly. I mean, the fact that Bournemouth is a really small place, and the fact that they're not just hanging on in the Premier League,
they're
in the middle of the table. Yeah, they're always mid-table. I mean, I'd love to see Eddie Howe get his shot. You know, it's not going to be at Arsenal, but I'd love to see him get his shot at, like,
in Everton.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It was Everton, a place like Everton.
We can get to Everton soon enough. It'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, what's the next game?
Next up, we got Swansea, Brighton. Brighton 4-1, get the win.
Yeah, Swansea. This is why I always say there's no such thing as momentum from game to game, only momentum within games. Because you look at Swansea didn't have a loss in their last like 7 or 8 or something like that.
Which is a very surprising statistic.
Yes, exactly. When Swansea, I heard it, I had to go research it. I was like, what? No.
Swansea are in the drop zones.
Right, exactly. And then they come in and get shellacked by Brighton. So, you know, Brighton destroys all the supposed momentum that Swansea was building. Good win for Brighton, obviously. Swansea's in the drop zone. They needed those points.
Right.
Next up, Southampton at Burnley 1-1. Yeah, this one started off with...
That basically describes it, I think. Yeah. That awkward silence, basically.
You had to go right back into it.
I actually had this one on the other TV, and...
Which TV was that? Which of the 50 TVs?
It was
on my 24th television.
Yeah. So it was boring. So yeah, this one. But it was actually the goals were semi exciting. The first one was a cross in from Lennon, and in the end it was kind of weird. But Barnes got like a shoulder on the after a few people got it, and McCarthy probably should have saved it. But Gabbiadini comes off the bench to score.
That's your boy.
I love Gabbiadini. It was really Gabbiadini should be playing more is my evaluation here.
He should be at a bigger club.
I don't know if I would have said that last year. I mean, he had a really, really good League Cup final against United last year. Mm-hmm. He scored 2 goals in that one.
Where do you think so? Like Liverpool or something like that?
No. I think that he's in the right spot, but if he can elevate his game, yeah, sure. But this year he has not played well.
So this was interesting.
Everton.
I heard this comment. I thought it was interesting because Southampton is tied for that last relegation spot. Now they're ahead on goal differential by enough that it shouldn't be an issue. But you know, Southampton, Palace, Swansea all have 27 points. West Brom's down on the bottom with 20. I remember, you know, it wasn't so long. I think people talk about the money in the Premier League and on these teams always have this money. And you know, it was 2 years ago. I think it would have been unthinkable for someone to say, you know, West Brom and Southampton are going to be relegated, are in danger of being relegated. They're always mid-table or better teams. And now you look at it, you know, a couple years.
West Ham's there as well.
Yeah, I mean.
A bunch of big-name clubs that are.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's not as the grip on the Premier League is much more tenuous, I think, than people sometimes assume it is. But West Brom's going down.
I would say there's a couple clubs down there. In the drop zone, you look at your Burnleys and your Leicesters and your Watfords. Like those are the clubs I would think would be
right, and they're in the top half of the table. Yeah, exactly.
Top half the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Maybe 5 years ago. Not. I mean, Leicester won the league, so we're not.
Yeah, but they almost got relegated. Like, I mean, they were in the relegation battle last year.
But and Burnley was in the top four. Maybe, you know, sometime around Christmas. So.
Oh, right. But it's still, it goes back to those things where now it doesn't, you know, just hearing the name of these clubs doesn't automatically determine where they're at in the table anymore. It's a lot more open
fluid.
Than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fluid. That's a good word. Fluid is
the word.
Well, I mean,
hey, Chelsea had the big kind of step back after they won.
Yeah, after they won.
The league, and Leicester did, of course, as well. And anyway, let's keep on moving. West Ham at Liverpool. Liverpool rolled 4-1.
Yeah, big time.
The kind of the big three there of Mane, Coutinho. No, sorry.
Firmino.
Firmino, exactly. Mo Salah got their goals along with Emre Can, who opened things up.
I think if United aren't careful and slip.
Oh yeah, Liverpool. Second. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting that. The back and forth between Liverpool and United is going to be really interesting because it's going to be a week-to-week basis, and those fan bases are fired up.
Well, I talked to Greggy the other day, and he was saying, I told him, because United were not doing very well. They'd lost a couple in a row. I said, hey, man, I think it'll be a struggle for you guys to keep second. And I actually see Liverpool and Spurs being above United. United will be fourth, is my prediction for by the end of the year. But, yeah, and he was like, you know what? The way we're playing right now, I'd be happy with that. Granted, things may have changed after the Chelsea win. But, hey, United don't look as strong as they did in the first half of the season. I think you could also attribute a lot of that to the play of Matic, who has really taken a big step back. This is exactly what he did with Chelsea last year. For some reason, he just seems to lose steam towards the end of the year.
I still think, though, Liverpool can be kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team where, you know, they'll bust out the 4-1 against West Ham. To me, I want to see what they do in the big games. Like, you know, I don't want to see another...
You mean against Man City?
I
feel like they play well in the big games. I feel like the problem is... when they don't play in the big games, when they need the motivation to beat a rag-deaf team.
They play to the level of their opponent.
Of their competition, yeah.
Mm. All right, next up, Huddersfield at West Brom. Huddersfield.
Again, West Brom's dead.
Like, yeah, I mean, this one.
It's over.
This was a six-pointer for sure. Yeah.
The baggies.
And Huddersfield on the road, I think they put in a great performance.
This is what happens when your players go on holiday and steal a taxi cab. They come back unfocused, and they give up a bunch of goals to Huddersfield.
It's amazing. Where were they? They were in Barcelona.
Barcelona, right.
Like, doing training.
They were in
for
Spain, yeah.
And four of their best players went out on the piss.
Yeah,
and which I think you can say on the radio.
Well, you just
too
did,
late.
Though.
You just did.
He's working his 1 year anniversary of dropping the F bomb.
He's dropping something big.
They go out,
get drunk.
Yeah, and the argument that they said at the end was like, oh, there was no fast food or nowhere open. So we went to a fast.
They went right, to they went to like a McDonald's.
With a taxi.
Right,
and then the taxi driver. Disappears or something.
Yeah, they make him wait. Yeah,
well,
and he disappears.
They just leave with the
right. Then they take his car. Yes, then they take
the
cab.
To the hotel. Obviously not sober. And, poor decisions all around. I mean, Johnny Evans, Jake Livermore, Craig Dawson.
The cab driver went to the bathroom and they lifted his ride.
Basically. Yes, yes. That's basically That's the TLDR
Here's
version
your
of that.
Cheeseburger, mate. Like, steal your ride.
But the thing about West Brom that makes me a little bit sad, even though I don't like him, is the fact that I know they're going to go down this year, and their biggest rivals are probably the ones that are going. Well, I say probably they're. Oh, but inevitable that Wolves are the ones that are going to
right. They'll come back up.
And the rivalry between those two clubs is famous. You know.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Robert Plant's a Wolves fan.
He is a Wolves fan. Mm-hmm. You're right. Is there any famous West Brom fans?
No.
Probably
somewhere.
Wikipedia.
it's not worth our time. Let's move on.
Google famous West Brom fans. You're probably not going to have any results.
You can do that at home. Yeah. Next up, Everton at Watford. That was the late game on Saturday. Watford won this one 1-0.
The former Silva Derby, Marco Silva Derby.
Your boy Troy Deeney, Andy got the winner.
Troy Deeney.
That's one of the best names in football. I love that name, Troy Deeney. Love it.
He looks like a bouncer for a nightclub.
No, all right, you say that every time. All right, so one thing I thought that was interesting coming into this one.
Because it's true.
An interesting article that came out by Football Observatory that said that Tom Davis is the seventh best under 20 player in Europe, which I thought was kind of interesting. Mbappe, who's very people are familiar with, he's
number three.
Who
is
number one?
It's the goalkeeper for AC Milan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Donnarumma.
Yeah, Donnarumma. Yeah, Donnarumma.
The only other like kind of big, semi-big name that's out there, there were a couple others, actually. Ryan Sessegnon from Fulham was number 10. And I believe, actually, the United guy that's on loan, Fosu Mensah at Crystal Palace was 17. Mm-hmm. Huh. So, good guys all around. Anyway, let's move on to the next game.
Yeah.
Yours truly.
I was going to say, you got to talk about Spurs. We can't end without you talking about Spurs. Yeah. Come on, man.
Spurs at Crystal Palace. I thought that was a very interesting game. Tottenham had so many chances in this game, if you guys saw it.
Yeah.
We were lined up. But you know what? We couldn't finish. I mean, there were a number of chances that Spurs had. And Crystal Palace, I don't think they had really anything that was significant, like, in terms of attacking.
What does STF mean?
That was just a random thing.
It's very random.
Yeah.
You're reading his screen here.
Yeah.
So I looked up West Brom famous fans randomly, right?
Okay.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Wow. Slow hands.
The Rolling Stones guitarist Ronnie Wood.
Ronnie Wood. Yeah.
There you go.
So Ronnie Wood's been in a bunch of bands, not guitarist. Just the Stones.
Nice. Yeah, but the Spurs. Yeah, Spurs. I mean, Harry Kane saves the day once again. Like when
Lit for that one.
I mean, I don't think you can. He's got to be right now the best striker in Europe, right? I don't
like pure striker. Yeah,
I mean right now. I'm not talking about like all the time. I mean, but yeah, right now he's got to be.
Players that you could say are playing better, perhaps like a Neymar, but he's not a striker. He's more of like a.
I don't even know if I'd say Neymar is playing better exactly.
I mean, he's in the French league too. Like,
yeah, that's true. Better. Yes, that matters. I mean, Harry Kane is. I mean, he's performing every time he's asked to perform, and they need a big goal. He's coming up with big goals, like. It's
Johnny
impressive.
I mean, whenever we need one,
I mean, I still
one,
think Salah there. Is the best player this season in the Premier League.
Salah is going to win Player of the Year, I do think.
I think as it depends on where they end up
maybe.
On the table.
Yeah.
I mean, if Spurs are above Liverpool, I don't see how you can and Harry Kane outscores Salah. How can you say that?
No, that
because
I mean that could
Salah
be.
Salah is a midfielder. He's not a striker.
He's a winger.
Like, in some respects, Harry Kane is almost a victim of his own success. Where like he scores so much, so often that it's almost regular. People are just like, you know, Harry Kane doing Harry Kane things.
I will say is that Salah is more exciting from a highlight reel perspective.
Of course, yes,
say,
definitely.
He can,
yes.
He's better at taking people on one
right.
one and going.
Yeah,
past
that's not Harry Kane's game.
Kane is more like a. Clean poacher. Striker of the ball, poacher.
He's not a poacher.
Isn't a positive.
But he's a finisher.
Poachers
are poachers. He's a fin. I mean, he's a classic striker to me. Harry Kane is a classic old school striker.
He is everything you want.
He may not
striker.
Be a vulture, but he's still a bird getting roadkill.
So now the question is, what happens as the specter of Real Madrid looms large over? North London.
Well, you know, they've been talking for a while that maybe Kane leaves. I also read this week that Lewandowski's agent has contacted Real Madrid.
Of course.
And you know what? If Kane's price will be crazy high. It'll be the new world record.
Real Madrid doesn't care.
It'll be the new world record. But
it
you
will,
could
yeah.
get Lewandowski for a fraction
less,
of the price.
Yeah.
So who's a better striker?
Well, clearly Kane is, but you know what? Value-wise, I think Lewandowski is better.
I don't know. I think Real Madrid will pull out all the stops to try and get Harry Kane. So it'll be
There's
interesting.
There's no release clause. Kane wants to stay. That's the thing that everyone.
Oh yeah, but everybody has their price. Everybody
yeah, but,
has their
yeah,
price.
Yeah, but not if you don't like the club.
He's one of
if you
no, that's the whole thing.
Like
yeah,
that.
If you don't. Yeah, if you don't want to go to Real Madrid, but there's part of me that thinks there's going to be at least a part of him that goes.
Yeah, but of course there's going to be a part of him that does. But also it's like, hey, you know what? I'm pretty young, and I could do that in 5 years or 3 years or 4 years.
That's true.
Years
yeah, that is true. That is like one of the advantages. He doesn't have to make a big move now.
Exactly. He all of the pieces are set up.
Mean he won't.
For. Tottenham to win cups either this year or next year or in the near future. And for me, it doesn't make sense for you to leave your childhood dream club early when there's
well,
still
that
potential.
Was Arsenal.
He played at Arsenal. He was not an Arsenal fan. He never supported Arsenal. Although there are pictures of him wearing an Arsenal shirt. Which is just disgusting.
I feel like there's pictures of almost everybody wearing an Arsenal shirt at some point.
Look up Drake.
Yeah, right.
But for Mark, you know, this is just like pornography to seeing, you know, like some of the best players in the world wearing their jerseys. But sadly, if you know the story, Arsenal actually cut him because they didn't think he was good enough. And actually,
they thought he was overweight.
And that was
right.
He's
yes.
like he's like
that's
a 10-year-old.
Said,
so
yeah.
I mean, come on. But that was actually one of the best things that there's a great article that Kane wrote in the Player Tribune, which is where you know the players only
write
the articles.
Own stuff.
And he says that how that motivated him. But it wasn't just that. There were a few other events and times along the way where clubs gave up on him. I mean, you could argue that Tottenham didn't even. Really give him the you know
they
a lot of love because they loaned him out again and again
times.
And again.
Him and Vardy were at the same club at one point in time.
Exactly, and I mean Kane even like there was at one point he was like about to quit, and he didn't, and then things started to turn around, and he actually told, I forget which it was before Pooch got there. He said, "You know what? I am not going on loan. I refuse to go on loan." And that was the turning point for him, is when he just said, I'm going.
Hey, it worked out for Harry Kane.
All right, guys, that's about it for this week. My thanks to Daniel for holding the fort, and obviously for Seville FC for stopping by the studio.
It was Alex's idea. I just was I'll take the chair.
I commandeered everything.
Yeah, Alex was like, forget it, let's go.
We're taking the studio.
Yes.
We've got a thing.
All right.
You're right there for helping us get everything on board.
All right, guys, we'll be back next week. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.